In Revelation chapter 9, John sees locusts coming out of a bottomless pit on the earth and wreaking absolute destruction. What are these? What does Revelation 9 say to a church that's struggling in the earth and to a people that can't understand why things are happening the way that they are? Stay tuned for Abounding Grace Radio.
Opening God's holy word with reverence and joy. This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
The world is often saying to us that they are advancing by ways of tolerance, love, peace, understanding. The problem is they are often promoting things directly against the law of God. What does the Lord have to say to a world that's standing in collective rebellion against Him? That's what we're looking at today on Abounding Grace Radio from Revelation chapter 9. As on Abounding Grace, we are continuing to work through the entire book of Revelation. It has so much to say to us of what the Lord is doing in the earth, how He is defending His people and warning a world that stands in opposition against Him. Thanks for tuning in today to Abounding Grace Radio. Please visit us on the web at agradio.org, agradio.org. Our number is 888-504-8805, 888-504-8805. We are on Facebook. You can interact with us there. I love to read all of your notes and encouragements, so please keep them coming. And also, please remember, we are a listener-supported program. 100% of your support goes to continue to bring Abounding Grace Radio to you and to a lot of people who listen and need to hear the truth of Jesus Christ as the Bible has revealed this glorious gospel. So thank you for all of your prayerful and your financial support. You can do that right at agradio.org. This is now part two of a message that you heard yesterday from Revelation chapter 9, which is titled, Jesus Puts the World on Notice. Thanks today for tuning in to Abounding Grace Radio. We tend to think, when we think of demons and demonic activity and Satan, that anyone outside of Jesus is on Satan's side. And Revelation is telling us something to correct that thought. Satan has no sides. Satan has no sides. He is all about the utter ruin and destruction of mankind. He does not care. He is about destruction. His name means destroyer. It's captured here. He's a menace. Think of a drug addict. A drug addict decides to take this course. What does Satan want to do with a drug addict? I'm not talking about believers. I'm talking about, let's just say, someone dead in trespasses and sins who is destroying his life. Satan wants to take somebody like that. And Satan wants to begin to let sin dominate him all the way down to the path of utter destruction of his life. He wants to destroy lives. That's what he lives to do. That's what he exists to do. What the fifth trumpet is describing is God lifting his restraint on Satan's activity. That's so important. Martin Luther used to say that the devil is God's devil. Do you know what that means? What that means is he can't do a thing apart from the decree of God and the restraining hand of God. I'll show you that with Job in a minute. It's captured here. Satan falls to the earth. His army is captured as a swarming locust army coming upon the peoples of the world. God just lifted the lid to let it out. He permitted it. You know, I was just thinking as I was preparing this, we don't think of this about God. We don't realize that every morning we get up and everything goes on in an orderly way, and society goes on, and any amount of goodness that we enjoy in this life, harmony, peace, law, order, every bit of it's come from Him. You have somebody break in your house, you're going to call somebody, and a police officer is there, and they're going to defend you. Who put all that into place?
When evil happens, we have governments that are given to curb this and to stop this. Who put all that into place? The world only continues because of God's hand of providence. He is keeping things down. He's holding down the lawlessness to keep things going. What we don't realize is that he's preventing a lot of stuff always from happening that could happen. In other words, when some great catastrophe happens, what does everyone in the world say? Where was God in this? Well, I say, God's been holding this back the whole time. What do you mean? You have no idea what it could be. You have no idea where this could go. God has been doing a lot of good in the earth in promoting harmony and justice and peace for a long time. Every bit of good the world enjoys comes from him. The care we see even in common peoples that they care for their neighbor, that's all from him. But as the world stands more and more in opposition to the Lord and his Christ, as rebellion grows, as hatred grows, he begins to let the lid of hell open. That's how you're able to explain the madness that's going on. The stuff that makes no sense to you. Satan falls from heaven. God allows him to go down and open the lid, the imagery here you're getting, and he opens it and out comes a dreadful army on the earth. He opens the shaft to the bottomless pit. And smoke, it says, rose like the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened with the smoke from the shaft. From the smoke came locusts on the earth, and they were given a power like the power of scorpions of the earth. Where does that come from? Well, something that any Bible reader should know, the eighth plague of Egypt. Listen to this. Hand over the land of Egypt for locusts so that they may come upon the land of Egypt and eat every plant in the land, all that the hail has left. So Moses stretched out his staff over the land of Egypt, and the Lord brought an east wind upon the land all that day and all that night. When it was morning, the east wind had brought the locusts. The locusts came up over all the land of Egypt and settled on the whole country of Egypt. Such a dense swarm of locusts as had never been before nor ever will be again. They covered the face of the whole land so that the land was darkened, and they ate all the plants in the land and all the fruit of the trees that the hail had left. Not a green thing remained, neither tree nor plant of the field throughout all the land of Egypt. It's borrowing this. Symbolically. Same thing. The difference is these locusts don't eat green things. Here's what they look like. They look like horses. They got crowns of gold with human faces. They have women's hair, long hair, lion's teeth, giant tails that sting like scorpions. Their power is to hurt people for 5 months. It's a dreadful army. You ever seen an army like that? An imagery? Think of the imagery being given to you. Deathly terrifying. Now, as we stand back from this and start to say, well, what is it describing here? You want to say nothing is static in the earth. In other words, you ever notice how things are always moving? What has stayed the same? Nothing. What you're seeing develop in societies, it always is moving. It's always going somewhere. When we read that people desire death, it's describing the sad consequences of all of this. In other words, it's brought about a misery in the earth, but they can't find death. It's describing the misery of all this. And then the sixth trumpet goes on and adds to the description by saying, this is the first warning God gives. Then the last one's described here. The sixth angel blew his trumpet, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar before God saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. The power of the horses is in their mouths and in their tails, for their tails are like serpents with heads, and by means of them they wound. What is this? It's all going to come together, I hope, in a second here. The Euphrates was on the far east of the Roman Empire. There were all sorts of fears of Eastern armies coming that would threaten the empire. Rome had the largest empire of the time. Here, these horses are presented, this army of paralleled in history. Symbols of strength. And what are they bringing on the earth now? The first locust didn't bring death. They weren't allowed to. But this leads to death and destruction in the earth. They're killing now. All right, let's answer it. What is it? What is all this? What does it describe? Satan lives to assault the world. Unleashing, as one pastor said, the smoke of deception, delusion, sin, he unleashes a moral hell on the earth. It's a spiritual assault leading to death. Do you ever stand back from all this and say, where's the sanity anymore? Law and order, what's happening to it? Moral degeneracy, what's happening to morality? Where's the line going? Better or back that we accept and tolerate? Directly against God's law. When you think of police officers right now, what do you think? That they were set up for your good. They were set up to promote justice and protect and honor and serve. What do you think might that look like if the restraint is lifted? Interesting thought, isn't it? What would it look like? Would they be attacked? Would they no longer function well? When you think of government, that's given for the promotion of justice and an orderly society. What would happen if the restraint is lifted and Satan brings his army? Would corruption come? Would it get worse? Where would it go? What would happen? Would there be dishonesty that marks it? What would happen to law and order in society? How about this? God gave the family. From the beginning, he made them male and female. The family was the basic building block of society that God put in place to make society work. You destroy the family, you destroy society. You will. What would happen if the restraint is lifted and Satan comes out? What would he do to the family? What would he do? Think he would attack the structure? You think he would want roles redefined that God gave? What would happen to men and women in this society? What would happen to fathers and mothers in this society? What would happen to children in this society? What would being given over look like? I know you are all very smart people. You know. You'd blur all creational distinctions and you'd create a moral chaos. A moral chaos. Lift the lid, let God's restraint. God says, okay, you want it, you got it. Here come the locusts. Smoke of deception and delusion. That's what you have pictured here. You have pictured Satan in the earth, God warning the earth, if you want to stand in collective rebellion against me, this is what it's going to be. This is where it's going to go. Now, if you're going to be a waking and observant people, you're going to say, I can't put my head in the sand on this stuff. It's all over. Stuff's moving. Stuff's happening. So what they think is progress and love and tolerance and acceptance is the promotion of their own undoing. That's what's the tragedy, isn't it? In the name of love, they undo the fabric of society. Do you see it? You see, if he fully lift the restraint, what would happen? That'd bring a moral hell to this earth. Now, I hope this is why Revelation scares people, right? It shouldn't. It shouldn't scare the believer. The intention is exactly the opposite today. That's the bad news for the world, but the intention is to have a message for the people of the Lord. And you know what that message is? If we have utopian ideals of the present world, if we've only made our home in the here and now and not sought the things that are above where Christ is, if we don't think heaven's better than this and we think this is it and we're living for this, this is going to be so disturbing to you. If we're striving for the picture-perfect life with a white picket fence, this just isn't even going to connect with people who've had it so good. Because then we're not living in reality. But it's not reality, and you know that. Because the book is meant to pull and help you who are in the distress say, I've got a message for you. What is the message? Here's the encouragement. Here's the wonderful encouragement of Revelation 9. Did you catch it? Last time, the saints all cried, it seemed like God's doing nothing. It seems that God's silent. And that's just a half hour, by the way. Their affliction's 5 months. Again, symbolic. The cherubim went silent around the throne because God was getting up. Well, in the fifth trumpet, you have described Satan's activity. What would you expect? That's our greatest fear, is it? Satan hates us. If Satan could, he would want to destroy us. What is the fifth trumpet saying to you today? And the sixth? Well, doesn't verse 4 shine? Look at verse 4. They were told, this is the locusts, not to harm the grass of the earth or any green plant or any tree, but only those people who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. You need that. You need to understand that. We've been talking about foreheads, and you've seen enough movies where things are stamped and you don't need to listen to that stuff. What is the forehead? What is the mark? God has his mark on his people, remember? That was from the book of Ezekiel. When the inkhorn rider, God said, go through the city, and I want you to mark all the people who are crying out for all the abominations that are happening in the earth, that are just worried and concerned about all of this, and cry out to the Lord for justice and what's right and what's true. So he goes, and he marks all the people on their foreheads. Pass through the city after him and strike. You shall not spare. You shall not know pity. Kill old men outright, young men and maidens, little children and women, but touch no one on whom is the mark and begin at my sanctuary. Angel comes back, says, Lord, it's done. They're marked. Before any of this happened, what is this? None of these locusts or Satan can touch you. Did you hear me? None of Satan or his locusts, his army, can touch you. You say, okay, you're talking madness now. What do you mean? Remember Job? The worst example of satanic assault in the Bible, one of them, on the righteous. Remember what had to happen? Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. The Lord said to Satan, from where have you come? Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro on the earth, from walking up and down on it. We know what he's doing. He's destroying. And the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? That there's none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man who fears God and turns away from evil. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not put a hedge around him and his house? And all that he has on every side. You've blessed the work of his hands, and all his possessions have increased in the land. But, stretch out your hand and touch all he has, and he'll curse you to your face. Made it too good for him. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your hand. And here's the verse. Only against him do not stretch out your hand. You can't touch him. Did you hear it? What does that mean? Not, these armies and the wickedness and the deception and the darkness can never, ever, ever steal you. You're marked. Here's what he's saying. You're my people. I love you. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to defend you through all of this. But don't have all the wrong fears here. And don't get caught up too much here. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, but guess what I've done for you? I've prayed for you that your faith should not fail. I've prayed. You think that prayer was heard? In other words, I'll defend you and I'm going to defend your children. I look at my children and I think, you know, they don't stand a chance. In the midst of all this, all these ideas, all of these temptations, all of these philosophies, all these ideas, all these pressures, if you appreciate what's being said to you right now, I can tell you right now, you're not going to stop it. Even the best parenting can't stop it. You should be immensely thankful for what the Lord just said to you. I'm going to keep you, and I'm going to keep your children. Nothing can take heaven from you. So they strike your life. In other words, you get hit with death. You're going right to be with me. That is not really a strike, is it? He's throwing it back at them. He's lifting hell's lid on them. He's letting them taste it. But as you face these things, don't buy into the lie that the wicked have it better. It's not true. See what's happening to them. Look at this with redeemed eyes and look at what the world's embracing. Look at the system of the world and look at what it's pushing and embracing, the philosophies, the ideas, the change of nature. You want nothing to do with that system that stands against God. Anyone who makes himself a friend with the world makes himself what? An enemy of God. This is why Jesus said, don't fear him who can kill the body. Fear him who can kill the body and soul in hell. How is this going to go? Well, the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent. Nor did they give up worshiping demons and idols and silver and bronze and stone, which cannot see or hear or walk. Nor did they repent of their murders or their sorceries or their sexual morality or their thefts. In other words, even after all this sadness, after all this misery, tasting it, they still don't repent. They still don't turn. And I believe the effect of that is to say, don't be surprised by the response of the world. They should see all this darkness. They should wake up and say, you know what? We've ruined everything that's good. We've ruined everything that's good. Every good thing that we ever had from the Lord, we've ruined. Our sexual morality has crushed us. Our idolatry has ruined us. Our theft is consuming us. But they don't. And I thought today, think of the blessing then of repentance. Is it in place in your life? Think of the blessing of worship. Is it in place in your life? We have to be born again, of course, or else it won't be. But do you realize that when you repent of your sins and turn to Jesus by his grace and strength and power, when you confess him and you say, Lord, I see the wrong path, you're the right path, and you turn to him, and the priority of your life becomes worship, which is what Revelation's showing you. That is manifest power in your life that he's keeping you. That is evidence he's keeping you. That's evidence he's working in you. That's evidence the locusts aren't touching you. Think of the joy of being conveyed out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, into the kingdom of his son in love. He just promised you he's going to keep you to the end. That's what we should see. He's jealous for Jerusalem. He's jealous for his people. Jesus purchased from every tribe, tongue, people, and nation a number that no man, multitude, no man can number, who today are gathering to worship and who in glory will be around his feet worshiping him You are evidence today. You are evidence today of his care. You're evidence today of his power continuing to work in the earth.
You've been listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll-free at 888-504-8805. Once again, 888-504-8805. Or contact us on the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. Connect with us on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station or subscribe to the AG Radio podcast in iTunes or use our free Android app. Thanks for listening. And remember, where sin abounded, grace abounded more.